Day after tomorrow's Christmas. In case you missed it. I think one of the things I'm gladdest about this year is that Christmas is not on a Sunday again. You know, that may not bother you all a lot, but it really turns my crank when Christmas is on a Sunday, you know. And so, I just want to take a minute and have some folks share a little bit about interesting Christmases you've experienced. Think for a minute, what was your most memorable Christmas as a child? Anybody got one that stands out? Most memorable? Go ahead. Appendicitis. Christmas spent in the hospital. Okay. That's exciting. How old were you? Okay. Yep. Anybody else at memorable Christmas? That's good. And the first time you learned your parents were actually Santa Claus. Okay. All right. Go ahead in the back. Okay. Christmas caroling with the grandparents. Neat. Deborah? Yeah. Oh, I thought I saw your hand. Sorry. Alan? That would do it. Anyone else spent Christmas overseas? Kathy?
When I was a little girl, about 3 or 4, my father was stationed in Germany.
Okay.
So we celebrated St. Nicholas when we put out our shoes.
Okay. Kathy's on the Green Valley moment. How hard did that car hit you the other day?
It took me all the way back to my house.
Okay. Okay. 14 kids we were able to help with the angel tree, so that's good. Margaret? Brian? When we were in Australia, Father Christmas arrived by helicopter, and he wore red shorts. This is over 100 degrees, so it was, you know, but that was a big deal when Father Christmas would arrive. Anyone else? A memorable Christmas as a child. Anybody ever spent Christmas in an airport or a bus station? I know a couple of years ago that Andersons had Thanksgiving dinner at Denny's in Casa Grande, so, but it had an accident on the way to Phoenix, and so got sidetracked a little bit there. That's it. We have our priorities. Okay. That first Christmas, they had no idea it was Christmas. The whole concept of celebrating a Christmas holiday did not come about for centuries. That first Christmas, they're just scared. Look with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Said it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born for you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as it was told them. You may have heard that scripture before. I want to look at it this morning in terms of what the people did and what God did and what then they're going to do. We start out with a lot of people doing what they have to do. Mary and Joseph were going to Bethlehem not because they had a choice, not because they had free vacation miles, not because, you know, they'd won a prize at the Circle K, you know, free trip to Bethlehem. They were forced to go there for taxation purposes. Just a question, if the government shutdown goes through January, do I still have to make my quarterly tax payment? The answer is yes, because guess what parts of the government do not shut down? By the way, is there anybody that's out of work during the government shutdown? Chatty, do you still have a job? Okay. All right, what about Billy? Billy works for... What about you, Tony? How long are they going to pay you? Does the government shutdown affect Social Security checks? Shouldn't. Okay. All right. Direct deposit anyway. But, okay. But can you imagine what would happen is if to pay your taxes you had to go back to your ancestral hometown to register and to pay your taxes? Like, I really want to drive back to Kentucky to pay taxes. I don't like putting an envelope here. I don't like driving to the post office for it. So they were forced to make this trip. And so they're doing what they had to do. In Bethlehem for 4 census and taxation. And the whole giving birth thing. By the way, nobody's in control of that schedule. Okay? Like Alan said, it doesn't matter how many times you tell her, hold that thing in there until after. They're not going to listen to you. Because when it's time for that baby to come, guess what happens? It comes. Mary Lee was born at 11:15 on a Sunday morning. Okay? They're going to come when they're going to come. Whether you had other plans or not. And so sometimes in life, the most amazing and beautiful things happen when you're doing what you have to do. So many people keep expecting God's will to be something so out of the ordinary that they'll recognize it as a direct instruction from God as soon as it comes. And that's not usually the way it works. Usually God chooses to interject himself into our lives when we're doing what we got to do. Had a friend had a bumper sticker that said, I owe, so off to work I go. And a picture of 7 little dwarfs going along with him. He did have 7 children. I understand that whole concept. And, you know, so much of life, we're doing what we have to do. Here's Joseph and Mary doing taxes because they had to. Here's the shepherds out on the field. Because that's where they were, the sheep were. That's where they kept the sheep. They would rather have been somewhere else. You know, the shepherds break home, I don't know. But sometimes God chooses the times where we're doing what we have to do. That's why teachers teach, plumbers plumb. Electricians electrify. A good electrician is one that retires with all of his fingers intact. Yeah. But we do what we have to do. Think about your family and the responsibilities we have there. And here's a bunch of guys doing what they have to do to care for their families. And all of a sudden, God comes in and God intervenes with something amazingly miraculous and wonderful. Now, what did God do here? God set the entire world stage for this to happen. For the very first time since the Tower of Babel, the entire known world had a common language that had never happened before. But they all could speak 2 or 3 languages, and one of the languages they could normally speak was Greek. Because of the influence of Alexander the Great and a few other things, the whole known world and all international commerce was in Greek. Kind of like English being language for the internet. And that was the first time that it happened. And God had supernaturally arranged that. For the first time since the dawn of time, there were actual highways constructed between major cities because the Roman army had to get there. And so they built highways to get where they needed to go. And for the first time, there were travel availabilities. And there was peace over that whole known area for the first time because the Romans enforced that peace with a very heavy hand. God had arranged a unique set of circumstances and world conditions for the beginning of Christianity that had never existed before. God intervenes. He came to a group of people that He had chosen since Abraham's day, 2,000 years earlier. And He comes and does something miraculous with this young lady named Mary. The first and only virgin birth. They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing. And God intervenes. I love the shepherds sitting out there minding their own business, half asleep because it's nighttime, half awake because it's nighttime, and they're shepherds. And suddenly there's an angel appears in the sky. Now, last night was a full moon. It's pretty dark, pretty light out right now because of the full moon. But have you ever been somewhere where there are no street lights and it really gets dark when it's not a full moon? Okay. One night we were camped in Australia and we were over 500 miles from the nearest street light. Okay. And when it turned night, we'd actually see stars down on the horizon. Just an amazing sense of beauty and wonder and awe. But then when the moon set, it got dark. Like we'd never seen dark outside of Carlsbad Caverns before. They're sitting out there in the dark, and all of a sudden there's a great white light, and the angel appears. And the first words the angel says to the guys are, "Don't be afraid." Okay, I'm afraid it would have been too late for me. You know? But God intervened. None of them expected the intervention of God. But God surprised them. And then they respond. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." In other words, their curiosity was aroused and they went and inquired about it. It wasn't that God intervened and they just mindlessly responded. No, they responded with intelligence and forethought and consideration and cooperation. And they said, "Hey, let's go check this out." And they went and checked it out with an open mind. And they found it exactly as God had said. And they were excited. And they told everybody. And everybody was excited at what they said. And Mary saw everything that was happening. And she pondered it in her heart, is what the translation I read said. She thought about it real deep. Here comes God, and God intervenes, and it provokes thinking in people. So often we are accused of mindless blind worship, mindless blind faith, mindlessly following the crowd, and yet in the Scripture, every time God does something special, the people engage their intelligence and think about it. I like the scriptural version better than I like the caricature that's portrayed of the believers in God. And they made calm, rational decisions based upon the supernatural intervention of God. Here they are doing their thing. And God comes in and does something miraculous. And so they responded. What about you? this Christmas. Some of us just going to be glad when it's over with. A lot of fuss and bother, not real sure why. Others enjoying the family, glad to see everybody, enjoying the togetherness. We'll miss it when they're gone. Some will enjoy a sincere time of worship, celebrating God at work. Others get caught up in materialism of wondering about what stuff they got. Guarantee you next week at Pastor's Palace, some kid will tell me what they got for Christmas. Because he's been taught what's important. And I usually ask the kids, what did you give for Christmas? And it's always interesting to watch how they respond. What about you? What would happen in your life if God came to you right where you're at right now and intervened in a miraculous way? Stomp your foot, look at God, say, it's about time. Where you been? By the way, I don't recommend that. It will not go well. Or do you say, to God be the glory. Great things He has done, great things He continues to do, and great things He has yet to do. And I'm going to be where I need to be in my life to be ready for it. Somebody once told me that one of the greatest issues in modern Christianity is the failure to show. He says, folks, God wants to do something great, but we're too busy hanging out that we don't see it. I want to be there. I want to recognize it. I want to see God do something special, miraculous, and unique. I'm going to be available for when He makes it. Part of His plan to include us in what He's doing. Let's pray. Father, help us to follow You. Help us to do Your work, to do Your will, to do what You want us to do. And Father, I pray that You would use us to make a real difference in what happens in the world and the nation around us. And Father, I pray that You would help us serve You in ways that make a difference. Be with their families. Please give them safety on the road as they travel. Please bless Andrea. And Father, we pray that You'd use us to make a real difference. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.